Living green or sustainably is about more than saving on your electric bill and doing your part to protect natural resources. It is about a safer and healthier life for you and your family without sacrificing style, quality, or budget. This is a movement to provide all of us with clean air to breathe and water to drink, safe, healthy food to eat and places to live, and energy to run the places where we live, learn, play, and work. The Everyday Green Home Podcast helps you get the value of green for you, your family, and your community. Whether it's green homes, green living, or the people who make it happen, join me, Marla Esser Close, to learn how green and sustainability practices and products work for you and our world. It's Marla, and I'm on my personal profile page today. I'm still figuring out how to get all this working inside of my Facebook group. So for I think most of you know that I also have a business called Green Home Coach. And inside of that, we started a Facebook group called Love Your Everyday Green Home. It's just there to help you learn about some of the pretty simple things that you can do to make your home healthier, safer, and more comfortable. And I know right now that I think a lot more about the choices that I'm making in my home and how we're living in our home because, oh my gosh, it is like, you know, homes become our everything. A friend of mine said that home has become our hometown, and it really has. It's become the place where we live and work and play and socialize and everything. And so that means that we've been a lot harder on our homes. We've learned a lot more about our homes because we're spending a lot more time in them. So we're part of this. We're seeing this. And, you know, pre-pandemic, I think a lot of us kind of used home as a home base and a place where we, you know, showered and slept and reconvened with the family and headed off to our next event. I've worked from home for years, so I've been pretty involved in making sure my home has really served me because it has served me as my work and my place for us for a long time. So I think I have a little bit different perspective on that, but I've learned a lot of things. And my goal is to share those with you, to share them through my Facebook group, which is called Love Your Everyday Green Home, to share them through teachings from my book, to share them through people I meet and their experiences and their stories. So there's just a lot out there, and you don't have to like digest it all. You just pick a few that work for you and go try them. I think if anything, 2020 was the year of the grand experiment for us and for a lot of people. So, you know, now that we know that we are free to experiment, we can hone in a little bit more and do things that are a little more intentional. And our homes are just such a huge part of that. So today I really wanted to focus in on our interiors in our home. And this is just such an important part of our lives because this is what we see and touch and feel and smell. And it's just a part of our experience, you know, our tactile experience with our homes on a day-to-day basis. So having that home that's very comfortable and that serves you from how the interiors all work is important. And I think, you know, we pick up the home and garden magazines and the design magazines, and they're all about absolutely beautiful spaces, which I love beautiful spaces. Yet we also want those spaces to serve us, to serve our health and our wellness, and to be comfortable, to be places where we really want to be. And that means a lot of different things, and it means different things to different people. So that's step number one. Figure out what's really important to you, and it can change over time. My husband Scott and I have spent a lot of time at home in recovery mode the last few years. So we opted to buy a sofa that had a recliner, a double recliner sofa. It was secondhand, so if we're not, it's already off-gassed and all that good stuff, so that was awesome. And we knew that it probably wasn't going to be our forever sofa, but we needed a place where we could just be comfortable together and have some time for recovery and a place for Scott to nap once in a while. And so this recliner sofa has been a perfect fit for us. Like I said, it wasn't a forever choice. We may keep it a lot longer. I don't know. One of the things I have loved about using what I call reloved furniture, or secondhand furniture, is that it's made it really easy to make short-term, very intentional decisions for a specific need at the time, because I know that if it doesn't serve long-term for us, I can put it back out in that marketplace for reloved furniture and pass it on to somebody else. And then I can find something new to me from somebody else that's been pre-loved. So I'm really loving this feeling of being very tightly connected to a few specific pieces in my home. But now I have this freedom to try things that are specific needs at that point in time. So this whole idea of reloved furniture is a great way to experiment in our homes and try different things that you want to try and not have to feel like you're really impacting new material usage or that you have to be as concerned about what's in them, because older furniture has had time to off-gas any chemicals or toxins that may be in the fabrics or in the wood, in the glues. So you get a little bit of a different comfort level with that, if you will. But furnishings are one part of it. So let's say you want new furnishings. So then you want to look out for what you are buying. There is a group called the Sustainable Furnishings Council, which has a list of companies that adhere to a set of practices in the manufacture of their furniture to make sure it meets the levels of sustainability. This is a great place to go to find sustainable furnishings. Many of the retailers will have furniture and furnishings that are sustainable in different ways, but you will have to do a little more research to find those companies and to find the labels. And then we have companies that are committed to sustainability really on a broader scale. IKEA is one that comes to mind. There are others as well. So do a little bit more research, just like you would read the label on a food product. Find where you can read the label on that piece of furniture or furnishings that you're bringing into your home. Some things to watch out to or out for is what materials are used and are there potentials for it to off-gas. That means it's going to put off those chemicals into the air that we breathe in our homes. This is a big source of indoor air pollution, and I will do some separate talks on our indoor air quality because it's not near as good as we think, and it's usually worse than the outdoor air. Not everywhere, but a lot of times. So you don't want to bring in any additional chemical load unintentionally or intentionally, hopefully, but you know, sometimes we just don't know what we're bringing in, and you want to minimize that as much as possible. So choosing furniture that is not going to add to that and furnishings with a lot of extra chemical load is definitely one way to contribute to that. So what else do you want to think about? Not just your furniture, but the other furnishings, your rugs, your furniture, your tables, your sofas, so both upholstered and unupholstered furniture, your window treatments, especially if they're soft materials, any of your soft goods that are made of fabrics, your pillows, your curtains, your rugs can potentially have additional chemicals. It's really all tied up in what they're made of. So perhaps you want to look for natural products, like natural wool, for instance, would be one. Or you may want to look for sustainable and organic cotton if you're choosing a cotton product. So having some go-tos that will work for you will give you kind of your short list, if you will, of what works well in your home. You can also look for products that are more chemically responsible so that they have tightened down the chemicals that they are using and they're choosing safer chemicals. They may not necessarily be the safest, but they are safer. And sometimes, you know, we're always making trade-offs. So sometimes that is the best that we can do. You can also look for products that are sustainable and renewable. So maybe you're looking for something like flax. Linen is made from flax, and flax is a renewable resource as well. So different options depending on what your importance and your factors are. So in addition to the furniture and the furnishings, we also have the things that are attached to our home, the things that are part of our home, like the wall coverings, which in the wall behind me is paint. And that's a big choice. Choosing one that is safer, preferably no VOCs, but at least low VOC, is going to, again, have less of that stuff, those chemicals, off-gassing into our homes. That is a huge choice on what else you choose for wall coverings. I am trying to figure out a way to see comments because I'm in a screen I'm not familiar with, because I see a couple of folks tuning in right now. So if you are putting a comment, give me a minute to find it. I finally have located it, and Facebook has a whole new screen. So thank you for giving me a moment to consider that. And thank you for joining us. So back to the parts of our home that are attached. This is your opportunity to not only think of what's covering your walls, like paint, or maybe you're choosing a wallpaper. Again, you need to consider what's in the wallpaper. What kind of adhesive do you use? Is that going to be a safer option and a healthier option for the people living in your home? You also have coverings for your floor. Maybe that's a flooring product or a carpet product. Honestly, if I had it to do all over again, I have carpet in my bedrooms. And should I have an opportunity to refloor my home, I will put in hard flooring throughout my home and choose area rugs that I can easily clean. It's carpet or long shag rugs are just a big dust trap. And we both have a little bit of allergy problems. So I am looking for ways to improve that as we move forward. And we bought a spec home, so it came this way, and we have not yet really made any big changes to it. But I know if we do, we've got a list of how we want to do things a little differently to better fit our health and comfort needs as we go forward. So anyway, okay, wall coverings, floor coverings, ceiling coverings, usually paint on the ceilings. This is a place to think about the light in your home as you're choosing these coverings for the surfaces of your home. I am not a designer, okay? Fair game, not a designer. But I do know what I like, and I have a lot of designer friends, and my mom's trained as a designer, an interior designer, so I've had a lot of influence. And you think about how the light plays in your home, because that's an important part of our health and wellness, is the natural light that comes into our homes. And different colored surfaces can help to magnify or minimize that light. I like a lot of light, a lot of natural light in my homes. And I have pretty well-placed windows in this home that we really have been able to take advantage of. We chose to leave the ceilings. I'm pointing to my ceiling like you can see it, right? Up there, we chose to keep our ceilings light colored because it helped to magnify that light. Most of the walls in our home are a light color as well. We have some accent walls, such as the wall behind me, which is a great way to bring some color and some interest into your home, but still have the light reflection that you get from those lighter colored walls. You can also use the color of your different surfaces in your home to hold heat. That is a whole nother topic, but if that's something you're interested in, reach out to me and we can talk about how you could use that. In particular, dark colored floors with south-facing windows can be a great way to hold heat. So there's really some ways to think about how you can use your inside, your interiors, to help contribute to the overall production and performance of your home, which may be a little bit different than a lot of people have thought of. I think sometimes we just think, hey, we're going to go in our homes and that's where we live. And we sometimes don't think about that bigger picture of how that home can contribute to our well-being and to how much we have to do to take care of it. I'm a huge, huge advocate of low maintenance choices in my home because I don't want to spend a lot of time taking care of stuff. I just don't. I have other things that I would rather do. I have friends that love working on their homes and they will spend their weekends and their evenings updating stuff and redoing it. And that is just what they love to do. So for them, if they have a surface or something that doesn't fit their exact need, great. They just change it. But not my way. So every way is good. Just know what your way is so that when you make those choices, you're making the choice that works for you. So let's see. Carpet, flooring. Again, you want to make sure any of those choices are the lowest possible on any off-gassing components. You also have a great opportunity to choose materials that are made from either renewable materials or recycled content in them. and that they also can be recycled. So both ends, so that we can support products that can be in a circular kind of a mode and the materials be used to make them, and then they can in turn become something else or upgraded to the next product. So that's a great way to keep these products from going to the landfill and to keep our limited resources in play, to keep them out there working with our homes. So let's see, I had a couple of notes. I want to make sure that I hit everything. Oh, let's see, we talked finishes. Cabinetry is another one that you want to really pay attention. Formaldehyde is one chemical that we're seeing still creep into some products, especially pressed wood products, and that's one we want to steer clear of. So you want to look for formaldehyde free. I have all kinds of resources to help you find these products, both in my book, in my podcast. So happy to direct you to those resources when you're ready for more information. Wow, bathrooms are fun, right? Bathrooms and kitchens. I think those are the two rooms we redo. Actually, I know they're the two rooms we redo the most. They're also the rooms that use the most stuff. They use the most materials. They use the most energy. They use the most materials like plumbing and water and electricity. And they're rooms that we spend a lot of time in because they have a very specific function. So as you are fine-tuning or remodeling or building your bathrooms and your kitchens, you have a lot of opportunity to be very specific and intentional about your choices so that those selections really do support how you want to live in that home and support your health and your comfort. So that's a real big part of that. Tile choices, flooring choices, wall choices, just like in any other room, play a really important part here. This is also your opportunity to make sure you're choosing wisely so that things do not mitigate moisture. Moisture is a big no-no. We don't want that. And a lot of that comes through cooking in our kitchens and showering and water use in our bathrooms. So we definitely want to make sure we're making choices that will keep those two rooms dry and move that moisture out. So this is where we can get into some of the building science choices about ventilation. So know that whomever you're working with, you will want to make sure you're also talking a little bit deeper than just the furnishings and the selections, so that you can make sure you get moisture out and the materials that you choose keep it that way. So that's another one to consider in addition to the chemical potential of off-gassing and choosing materials that are really going to serve you. The other thing I love is so many great, great plumbing choices that are out there. And again, you have an opportunity to choose some plumbing fixtures that are not only going to be beautiful, but are going to be much less maintenance, last you a much longer time, and still optimize the use of your water. So your plumbing fixtures are a huge way for you to use the water you have coming into your home most effectively and efficiently. And I'm quite honestly blown away with some of the choices now, and they use much less water than they did several years ago, and you can't feel the difference. And if you remember, any of you remember toilets in the 90s, they've come a long way, baby. 2 and 3 flushes required in the 90s because they lowered the size of the water tanks without re-engineering. Ah, that's gone. The new ones work great. So you can have some great selections there. And honestly, if you were going to upgrade one thing in your bathroom, if you had like an older bathroom and you had one thing to upgrade, the toilet might well be it, especially if you've got a big old like 5-gallon tank. That will save you so much water, and you will get a toilet that stays cleaner longer, that flushes better, and that just works better for the people living in that home. So something kind of crazy to think about next time you flush, right? So the last couple of things I wanted to touch on is you've got all these soft surfaces in your home because you go from your bathroom to your bedroom, and you want those soft surfaces to be as comfortable as possible because that's where we get our cozy on. I wish I could pronounce the Scandinavian word. Hygge? Hygge? H-Y-G-G-E? So anywho, this whole Scandinavian sense of comfort and warmth and cozy that you've seen so much shared with this winter, at least I have. And a lot of that is your fabrics and your furniture and your bedrooms and your living areas and layering those fabrics. So there's just a lot of opportunity to have fun with it and just use really great fabrics that are going to be healthier for you and the people living in that home. So many fun choices. I've actually gotten in the habit of kind of swapping out some of bed comforters and things of that nature with friends and with my family. So it's given us some opportunities to try some new things without having to always go out and buy it brand new. And with all the secondhand options available to us to buy things, definitely can do so. If you're choosing fabric items, you want to make sure you have an opportunity to clean them safely and bring them into your own home. So lots of options on your interiors. There's so much to your home's interior besides just how it looks. And how we bring that all together in our homes really helps to dictate the health and the comfort that we get from those choices. So I hope I've given you a few things to think about today about how you can make some different choices. There's some excellent resources out there, and one thing that I've really turned to help me is using what I call green labels. And these are the labels of the third-party independent groups that test and then certify different products for different attributes. So, for instance, GreenGuard is one that is often used for materials that do not off-gas as much, and you might see it on paints. You might see it on hard materials that are made out of a safer plastic or other resin or material. You may see it on cleaning products. So a lot of these third-party certifications can give you the assurance that the products do what they say they're going to do at the level of off-gassing or other chemical makeup that they say they have. So that's a great way to get started. There's a lot of green labels out there. I'm happy to share with you which ones go with what. But as you're putting together your plans to perhaps do a little sprucing up this spring, just take a look at how you can do it to contribute to your home being even more healthy and more comfortable than it already is. As always, you can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Green Home Coach. And my website is always available to you to reach out to me. Happy to answer any of your questions. So, everybody out there, you have a great green day, and we'll see you soon.
That wraps this episode of the Everyday Green Home Podcast. Get the show notes with all the resources mentioned in this episode, and be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode. Ready to get started? Get more information, how-tos, and resources in my private Facebook group, Love Your Everyday Green Home. See you there. And remember that living a little better and a little greener is easier than you think.